Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. Logan J. Parker was born in Portugal, and once she graduated in economics, she moved to work in a bank in Lisbon, which she began to hate. This led Logan to move to London in 2015 when she began to work on her own music, composing original songs. After meeting Viv Broughton, the CEO in the premises studios while recording her demo, things started happening and led to the release of her debut EP in September 2019. Logan is a star in the making, and her original songs come deep from her soulful heart. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Logan J. Parker. Where do we find you in the world? What's happening in your life, and how are you doing?
Hey, Barrett. Greetings all the way to beautiful South Africa. I want to visit you guys there.
Definitely.
I've been doing music, I think, more seriously when I moved to the UK 7 years ago. So it's been interesting. I'm originally from Portugal, Lisbon.
Okay. I've been to Lisbon. Yes.
Really? Do you enjoy the city?
Yeah, lovely. It's just a little too hot for me. The humidity was a bit hectic.
It's quite hot. Whereabouts in South Africa are you?
I'm in Johannesburg. So we have a dry heat, not a humid heat. So mm-hmm. that humidity, yeah. Like you just step outside and it's just sweat. That I find, I can't deal with that. But because we've got a dry heat, it's not like on you all the time, if that makes sense.
Doesn't make you tired. Yeah, it's true. I agree with you. Well, if you visit the Portuguese islands of Azores, which mm-hmm. are absolutely beautiful, mm-hmm. It's even worse. It's very humid. They're beautiful, but it's really hot.
So
I do love music. I have a degree in economics. I mm-hmm. quit my job in a bank for music. I'm passionate about music. Mm-hmm. I love playing the guitar. Over the lockdown, I picked up, kind of like recording. I built my own kind of like home studio.
Yeah.
So I started recording at home mm-hmm. and then I started learning a piano, ukulele. And
at what age, whether it was a child or as a teenager, do you say, cool, I'm passionate about the music industry, I'd like to join it? I know you did your economics degree, but let's just travel through your journey in the entertainment world.
Uh-huh. I think my first contact with music was when I was, I think, 5 or 6. My parents put me in the church choir. Okay. So I was in the choir with the other kids, and I remember feeling so excited. I remember not being able to sleep at night because I was so excited to go to the rehearsals. And then I had my first performance in a beautiful church, and my parents came to see me, and I felt so special on stage with the other kids. We had like that, beautiful uniform and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was so beautiful. So I think I was completely amazed by all the voices together, the music, singing. It was super exciting. So mm-hmm. I guess that really was a very impacting experience when I was a kid. And then when I was 17, my parents got me a guitar, and then I started learning the guitar. But I went to the motorcycle. I was asking my parents for a motorcycle for a very long time. And then they just got tired and was like, here's a guitar. You're always singing, and I think you're going to like this. And it's safer than a motorcycle.
Yeah.
So, I started like learning the guitar, taking the guitar to school. I was a very shy teenager, mm-hmm. very like in my own world. Yeah. And I think music was this kind of like safe space where I just felt safe and happy.
Okay. Studied economics, you did banking for a while, then moved to the UK. So carry on. So you built your studio in COVID and you learned, what did you learn again? The ukulele and?
It's crazy. Ukulele, piano, and now the bass. I'm really into playing the bass now. So I can make a whole record just myself. It's
awesome.
It's liberating. It's great. Sometimes I used to bitch about musicians because they're unreliable. Or they just get too drunk or they're late. And it's just great to be able to create everything in your house and just create the whole track. It's so cool. It's so exciting.
Collaborating with, say, just one other musician, for them to hear the ears, they might have more of an like objective, or not an objective, they might think, have you tried that? Or are you happy with the end result? It's like, okay, my gut's telling me this is cool. I don't need their input.
Well, you know, I tried all of that,
Okay.
and I think like being a musician is like having personal experience, like in relationships, because music is
Yeah.
so personal. So when you share your music with other people, and other people come and they show you their way of seeing it, and it's amazing. And sometimes magic can happen, and sometimes it can go wrong. Most of the times it goes wrong, I
Oh,
think.
really?
So I feel like I am a producer, I think, and I feel like I've got my ideas in place, and I wish I could just tell the musicians what I want them to do. I think that's what I want. But I would like to work with I've worked with producers in the past, and it was great to collaborate with them. On Fragile, I've worked with Teeks. He's an incredible producer, and he's helped me. I had all these ideas, and he's helped me translate those ideas, and he made everything look and sound so cool. So it was great to work with him. And yeah, I think it's great when you meet people who are like-minded and they add to your music. But most of the times, I think it's hard when you don't have a big budget. Musicians, they you have to hire them, you have to pay them, and
And
it's
then
so
there's ego
expensive.
that walks in the room as well, I'm
Indeed,
sure.
especially for a woman, I agree that I've been playing with lots of like male musicians, and sometimes I get a bit fed up. I'm not saying anything against men, nothing at all, but I feel like sometimes when you're a woman, you want to lead and you have very clear ideas of what you want to do, and
Got it.
men don't take that very well. They don't take that leadership from a woman, especially in the music industry. So I feel that really pisses me off sometimes. It's hard. It's a difficulty, I would
So
say.
I mean, like then they label you're a diva, you're a bitch, and
Oh
and
yeah, you're such a bitch, Logan.
it's
Oh my
like from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, what inspires it? What invigorates it? Is it easy every time? Let's dive into your creative brain.
God. Indeed. Do you know what really helps me is I feel like my music is like a therapy. So I'm a very private person, and I struggle to really connect at a deeper level with people. I need to know them very well. I think yeah. So I feel like music is this place where I can really be completely honest and just talk about my insecurities, my flaws, my problems, all the things that hurt, I think, end up in a song. And I feel sometimes the funniest of things is that you can write a very sad song, but then add a really cool beat to it and make it a very happy groove, but still the message is quite dark, and it kind of like it all balances it out, and it's quite interesting. I feel that it's amazing. It's great. I love it.
I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people process information. So people are either visual, which means they process information by creating pictures, or they are audio, which means they process the information through the words and understand the paragraphs and the meanings behind, or they are kinesthetic, which means they process information through the energy, through the emotions, through the body language. So
Wow.
when you listen to music by yourself or of songs of yourself or by other artists, do you create see pictures when you listen to it? Do you hear the words or do you get the feeling?
I get the feeling 100%. Sometimes I struggle to create music videos for my songs, because music is more of a feeling and an emotion rather than just pictures.
And exactly.
It's
So
so
the
funny.
visual people, are like, where's my music video? I need to see it.
Yeah,
Now you
exactly.
understand that.
Well, I'm there struggling, trying to find an image to a feeling. It's so
That's so
hard.
cool.
You know, it's so interesting. I've never thought about it this way. It's very interesting the way you put it.
And now,
Absolutely.
when you listen to songs by other artists, are you able to just obviously, if you're doing work stuff, that creative analytical brain will fly in. But when you just want to listen to music just for the sake of listening to music, are you able to chill and listen? Or are you unpacking the music as you listen to it?
Yeah, there's always a critical sort of like sense in your brain when you're a musician. You notice all the details sometimes. And sometimes you notice something that, oh my gosh, this works so well. This is so sick. And sometimes like, oh, this bass line could be so much better. It's just like you are critical, I think. It's like every other job, like when you're an economist, you're a doctor, you see someone doing something and you know it. So you're going to be judgmental. I think, but I think it's good to keep an open mind. And you know, the more you remain, I don't know, pure in your way of seeing art or feeling art or listening to music, that is the way that that art is going to penetrate your soul and your skin and will make you a better person. It'll make you a deeper person. It'll make you reflect on all these things. So I feel it's important sometimes disconnect from your rational mind and just embrace the experience, I think.
So you're definitely kinesthetic because you keep saying, I feel. And that's very much the words of a kinesthetic person. They always say, I feel. When auditory people speak, they say the words, I hear. And when visual people speak, they say the words, I see. What are the future paths, short-term, long-term? What are the goals? What's happening?
Okay, so I'm super excited because I've been recording a Christmas single and it will be out in November the 28th, which is my mom's birthday. But yeah, so it's a very sweet Christmas song and I'm so proud of it as well. And I wrote it last year and it's a love letter. So I'm so excited because it's quite different from because I just released like a very rock track, like Where Nobody Goes is such a rock and roll kind of like upbeat, hardcore, kind of like female driven, you know, song. And I feel like this song is completely the opposite. It's mellow and it's romantic and it's sweet and beautiful. And it's so Christmassy. So yeah, I can't wait to hear what people are going to think. So at this point, I am struggling with the music video. So I'm trying to find ideas for it.
This is how my brain works and how my body processes information, right? So often people, like, for example, when I started doing the podcast, people were like, oh, you need to listen to other people who do interviews, watch what they do, listen how they're successful. I'm like, no, and it's not disrespect to them or saying I'm better. The thing is for me is that when I listen to them or watch them, I'm like, oh, I need to copy that. And then that takes away from my authentic self. So I then start sounding like whomever, which was never part of my personality or never part of what I wanted the podcast to be. So I've tried to, well, I have completely refrained from listening to others who do the same. Because it's like, this is me. I know it's working because of the feedback I'm getting. I'm being authentic, Barrett. And I know because it's happened in other instances where I've read books or whatever. And I tried to take on what that other person was saying. And it just, my computer brain went, no, not working. So the point I'm trying to make with this discussion is that maybe try and think of the story without going down the rabbit hole of Christmas stuff. Because it might
Take away your subjectivity. That's a great idea. I love it. Yes, yes.
If that makes sense, I'm like, oh, so I should use that. I should use that. I should do that. Like, no, let's not use any of that. Yet write down the ideas that are coming through, if that makes sense.
I love that. I think that's exactly my point. I was just thinking that there's no point on. Yeah, I think that's a really great idea. I don't want to talk too much about it because I want people to be surprised.
Of course,
but yes, definitely. I think I will take your advice on board for sure. Yeah.
What's happening next year?
So next year, I really wanted to really release my debut album because I've released my debut EP. I had a few singles in the meantime, and now I feel like I'm ready for an album. So I've been working so hard, and I've been building up my fan base as well on YouTube and Spotify. Yeah. I've been working with brands, and it's been super exciting. Like, I've never worked with brands before, so it was so cool to just get brands interested in working with you, and you feel like you're creating something special. So I feel like I would be ready. I think I will be ready next year for my debut album, and it will be a massive success because it is. It's got so much passion and love, and it's so authentic, it is unique, I feel, because I truly believe in it.
Of course. Okay, so moving back to working with the brands. So is this them using your music in whatever, or they brief you and say, cool, we need A, B, and C, and then you create that for them?
You know, I really would like that. I would like to experience the second option because it's mostly the first. They use my music. They use my. So I'm endorsed by Vimoto, and they give me a motorcycle. Oh, wow. And then I rode.
You got your motorcycle.
I know. Yeah, it's
There we
great.
go. You
I got it
manifested
before.
it. Anyway,
I did.
there we go.
So yeah, we've been working together for a year and a half, and it's been so exciting. And then I just fell in love with the bike. I wrote the song about the bike, about riding this motor. It's completely electric, so it's kind of like new generation bike. It's super cool. And yeah, so I wrote that song. That was Where Nobody Goes music video. I'm featuring the bike. So I guess for an artist, when we're independent, it's great to have the support of brands because they can help you magnify your reach, and maybe their customers, the people that like those motorcycles, they're going to listen to the music and then they're going to be like, oh, this song sounds great. And it's about riding motorcycles and I love motorcycles.
Yes.
This all makes sense. So I feel like music is... The most amazing thing about music is that it can fit anywhere, anytime, in any space. You
Absolutely.
Just need a good song. You just need a good attitude, and people are going to feel that love. So yeah, bring me more brands. I'm available.
Let's put that out there. More brands. So not only will you create the music, but then you'll be in the advertisements and
why not?
There we go. Our billboards. Here we go.
If anyone needs a Christmas single for an advert, I am available. I've got a great song.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every couple of months. I go into Amazon. It's an experience. Like, okay, cool. I'm going to get it. It's in the package. Like when I go to the store, okay, I'm going to buy this one. Come home, rip it open, you know, look at the booklets. For me, it's an energy exchange. Do you guys say, hey, thanks for all the hard work. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you're aware that physicals are making a massive comeback, for example, in the UK alone
they
last
are.
Year.
Especially vinyl. I do have my EP on vinyl. Yeah. People
Actually,
really
so
love
you know
it.
This.
Great.
So what are your perceptions of physical versus digital? Do you have a preference for each?
Oh, yeah. I'm so old school. I do love my physical, my vinyl. I have a record player at home. I grew up with my parents playing like the craziest records ever. Screaming Jay Hawkins, Frank Sinatra, Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, lots of like Mississippi Delta blues. So rock and roll, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd and crazy, crazy, beautiful, beautiful music. So I do love record players and I love vinyl. And I think music on vinyl just sounds so warm. And even the cassettes. I remember being a kid, my dad was driving the car, he was playing all these Creedence Clearwater Revival cassettes.
So
and it was so much fun.
Cassettes bothered me because I was always worried they would get unraveled in the machine and you'd have this tape and then you try and wind it up and the song like that. So when CDs came out, and also with records, they got scratched, or vinyls, they got scratched so easily. Even gently put them back. So in CDs, I'm very delicate. Like, I'm the only one who can touch them. They don't go flying across the room like frisbees, like some people do. I've got this, like, big CD case, so they're all locked in alphabetical order. So
that's great.
I do understand that if I had to ask you this question in 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, I understand and I recognize that your answer will be different every single time. But if you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists, once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Oh, yeah. All right. So that's really great. Such a great question. You're amazing. I think it'd be Leonard Cohen, Dance Me to the End of Love.
Okay.
I think it'd be Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Avaya Con Dios, Don't Cry for Louie. Ray Charles. Which one? Georgia. I think it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Or You Don't Know Me. I do love that song from Ray Charles. It's beautiful.
Okay.
I think there's one left. Yeah. I think something rock and roll I would go with Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bad Moon Rising.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
I enjoy the adrenaline and to feel that people are connected to what I'm creating in that moment, and that whole experience is completely unique and it won't repeat itself again. So we're all connected together in this beautiful experience and this beautiful journey, and we get to share it with one another, and I feel special that I'm channeling that and everyone is feeling that energy and we're all in that moment. I think that's the most important thing for me when I perform.
Okay.
I love
it. So I'm sorry to interrupt. I've got a point of discussion around this. So I'm always in the front, dancing, jamming, you know, do my thing. A couple of photos, a couple of videos, and I put the phone away. I notice people around me are busy tweeting, posting, videoing, photos, trying to get the perfect shot. understanding, you're talking about connection and energy and being in the moment. From the receiving end on the stage, do you find the phones distract from that? Or do you just feel it's where society is at the moment?
Sometimes, you know, I live in London, and sometimes you walk into a venue and you hear music and you're like, what is this? This sounds so fucking cool. Mm. And then you just buy the ticket and you go and see the band. And they just, in that moment, you get petrified. You're just like in that moment and you can't do anything. You just like connected to the music because it's so beautiful and so unique and mostly unexpected. So I would be the one that will forget about the phone and will just dive deep and enjoy. Yes. But I feel like, I think the new generations, they're very dependent on the iPhones and technology. And it's kind of bad because they're not really, really absorbing and enjoying the moment.
Exactly.
And making memories, lasting memories, looking at that front lead singer or the sax player or whoever it is, and just not making a video, but just letting it in and just embracing that beautiful moment. So I feel like it would be great if we could teach this in school or wherever. That people could just like, for a moment, don't bring your phones onto the table. Let's just have a nice family meal. Or don't take this phone to the concert. You're going to go meet new people and just enjoy it like if it was the 60s or 70s, right? So I feel like maybe we will go and society will change because people are going to be like, this is actually not cool. Let's change things. Like CDs are coming back and vinyl is coming back. I think we like to experiment. We like to always be one step ahead. But sometimes we have to come back to our home. We have to come back to our true selves. We have to come back to our nature. And I feel we always do. So it's just a matter of time.
It's actually interesting, though, if you think about many of the people, they are fleeting through life instead of actually being in life. You know, you see so many people, families at lunch, four or five people of them, none of them are talking. They're just sitting on their phones. So there's this disengagement from reality in real life and going into a digital reality, which is not real because most of it is filtered in any case.
It's true, because I feel like we all need this human touch. We all need to chat. We all need to look into each other's eyes and just to feel that connection. Yeah. And I feel phones, they don't really do that.
We're getting very philosophical here.
We are.
I do believe that a lot of people are too scared to go there, to feel, look in the eyes, to discuss what needs to happen. So they use this as a crutch and an avoidance. It's a new way of avoiding, you know.
You're completely right. Yeah. Spot on, really. I feel this is it. Like, people are scared of confront. They are scared to face their own feelings. That's why they need music, because they need some honesty. They need some people who are able to just rip up their hearts on stage and bleed. And they were like, oh, yeah, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. So I feel like we do this. I think that's why musicians are so important in society.
Yes, real musicians.
Real ones. Yes. I don't think there's such a thing as a fake musician. I think sometimes people sell their souls for money and they end up going down a route that it was not meant for them. And they end up not really, truly loving it.
I'm talking about more about robots and AI.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No,
it's a different rabbit hole.
AI. I know. It's quite boring, actually. It's boring. And it's not gonna do anything for us. So I think we will always go back to those records and just play by real people and with real messages and real emotions. We have to stand for our rights. We have to be brave enough to go through the struggle and confront people with like, this is not okay. We need to change this.
Yeah.
And it's very hard, but it's worth it, I would say. Yeah. I'm a fighter, so I would always stand for freedom and equality and people being kind to one another.
Yeah. No disrespect to anyone in the audience. I find that humans are so stupid because how many thousands of years have we been around and yet we are still murdering and killing each other because, oh, that person does this differently.
Yeah, we're going through horrible, horrible situations like the war in Ukraine and now in Israel. East, it's just so sad. It's horrible. But, you know, looking back into our history, there was always war. There was always comfort. There were always people being horrible. There were always people killing. And I think it's sad to realize that nothing will change. Nothing seems to be changing. Yeah. We won't be able to change. It's our human nature. The man's greed is incomparable, and it will never stop. It will never end. I feel like maybe if the world was ran by women, we have the instinct to care and to protect and to grow and to nurture. And I feel the world will be a much warmer place. No criticism against men, but I feel men are mercurial creatures. They always seek more. They're fighters. They want the fight. They want that adrenaline. And women, they're more, they want peace. They want love. They want family. Exactly. And I feel we need more female leaders in the world. And I think we will have a better planet.
Exactly. So leading to a positive roundup, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as your final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
I would like to say that life is so short. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We should enjoy every single moment. We should enjoy every single second of anyone that we meet in our lives, good or bad. Yeah. And we should learn. We should keep our minds open and not be critical in the sense of being closed-minded and not really embracing each one's amazing individuality and all the story. Each one of us, we are such an amazing creation.
Yeah.
Each one of us, we have such a great story. We should learn with each other, support each other, rather than just compete with each other in a bad way or be evil to one another. So I'm for peace and actually enjoying this voyage, enjoying this journey, because it is special. We're here. We have to enjoy it.